You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
We're in Revelation chapter 4 tonight. It will take me just a moment or so to get into this, and then I will not be long. I promise you that. Don't worry about that baby. She's got a yellow dress on. Give her 50,000 points right there. 50,000 points, Brother Flood. Where'd you go? And that's okay. You know, Brother Doug, I'm convicted in my own life so often because I don't preach enough about the second coming of Christ. God says in Revelation 1 that He'll bless us. He'll bless us if we read about this prophecy. In fact, go back there and we'll get to chapter 4 in a minute. Here, let's read verse 3. And he said, verse number 3, chapter 1, verse 3. Ready? Begin. Blessed is he that readeth. And the time is at hand. And God said he'll bless you if you read this prophecy, Revelation. If you hear it. So I need to preach it more because God will bless you for that. And then we keep them, three things he says there. Chapter 4, the scene is changing from earth. We have the seven churches and we end with the church at Laodicea. That church in chapter number 3 and verse number 14 says, and under the angel, angel's the pastor, the messenger of the church at Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, that's Jesus, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou art cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest thou not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. God says, I want this church to get right with me. And so that's why he's standing, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. It's Christ trying to get into the church. What a sad testimony. I wonder how many times, I hope not in these 50 years almost, that God's been on the outside while we've been on the inside. I hope that I've not been preaching with God on the outside, Treiber on the inside. I want God in this church. I want God to direct it. I feel like God directed the service tonight. So the scene changes. We've been on earth, and here's what's happening here. But chapter 4 moves to heaven. Why is the scene moved to heaven? Because it said, come on up here. That's the rapture of the church. We are not going to be here during the tribulation time. After this, in chapter number 6, he begins with 21 judgments. And those judgments are going to be poured out upon the rivers, upon the waters, upon the seas, upon the mountains, upon the stars, upon the sun, upon mankind. Pestilence. You'll not be able to buy or sell without the mark of the beast. It'll be awful time. I often, as a boy, I would wonder. My pastor would sometimes, once in a while, preach on the second coming of Christ. And I'd wonder if I was going to be left in that church by myself. You know, I got saved, and I know I got saved, 1956. I know I got saved. I'm positive that salvation. It's an amazing thing. My wife got saved the same year. She in Illinois, I'm in California. And I know I got saved, but I still sin. I was a young boy, and I still do wrong. And it seemed like the first line of defense, sometimes mother would ask me something, and if I got caught, I'd try to lie my way out of it. And I always felt bad about that. That's the Holy Spirit. And I'd go to bed at night. I can remember when I was a little boy, and it was 56 and 57 and 58 and early part of 59 before we moved out of that house. I can remember lying in bed and thinking, God, if I wasn't saved that night, I really mean it tonight. I want to get saved. I battled that for a long time. I figured out that really sin makes you doubt your salvation. I know I got saved, and I've clung to that and held to that these years. But I tell you, when you begin to have sin, but I would think about, and he'd preach on that coming again. I think, what if I'm the only one left in church? What if the pastor goes, his wife goes, his son, who became my brother-in-law 50-some years ago, what if they're all gone? What if the youth group is gone? What if the choir's gone? What if they're all gone? And I'm here by myself. Some people will be left behind. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, perhaps that's one of the reasons I'm pleading tonight. Are you saved? And I don't want you to doubt your salvation. But are you truly born again? I'm not saying are you sinless. I'm not saying are you flawless. Have you lived a perfect life since salvation? I'm not asking that. If that's the case, I need to get resaved and resaved and resaved and resaved. But when you get saved, God gives to us eternal life, and we shall never perish, John chapter 10. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I'm saved, I'm glad I'm saved. But are you? Chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says, "For after this I looked, behold, a door was opened in," where? "And seeing changes from earth to heaven. The first voice which I heard was as if a trumpet talking with me and said, come up hither. Come up hither." The word rapture is not in the Bible, but the word rapture means to snatch away. And God has promised us, we'll look in 1 Thessalonians in a moment, the text, "These things must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, behold, the throne set in heaven." There's that word again. "And one sat on the throne, and he that sat up was able to look upon the jasper and the sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in the sight, like under an emerald. Round about with the throne were 24 seats. And the seats I saw 24 elders." Some people feel from 1 Chronicles 24, this must be 24 groups of priests. I don't believe that, because priests were not elders. Elders were messengers of God. I believe they could be. I believe they could. Except, well, it's the 12 tribes and 12 disciples. No indication of that. An elder is one who serves in the church. I believe it could be pastors that are there. Now you say, do you think you'll be there, pastor? Absolutely not. I think of John Huss, who they burned at the stake. Do you think I'm in that league? Absolutely not. I think of these great preachers that were martyred for the cause of Christ, and the great preachers that this nation has had. I think of our first missionary in America, Adoniram Judson, went to Burma. I think of the great missionaries and great preachers. Perhaps that's what this, I don't know, so it's just speculation, and that's not a very good place to look at the Word of God. But there's these elders, and the Bible says they had crowns of gold, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thundering and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits. And before the throne was a sea of glass like crystal. In the midst of the throne, round about, was a throne. You see the word throne, throne, throne. In fact, in my Bible, just in these two pages, I have it underscored in yellow and red, and it's just constant. And they cried out, verse number 8. Look at the latter part, the four beasts, which had six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and the rest, not day and night, sang. Read it with me, please. We sang it tonight. Holy, 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 Lord God, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, and the 24 elders fall down before him and sat on the throne and worshiped him and liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Father, tonight I pray that you would give instruction to us from the Word of God. May you please give conviction from the Word of God tonight. For I ask this prayer in that lovely name which is above every name, the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. My Bible says in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4, for the Bible says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God shall sound first, and those that are alive and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together. I love this song. He is coming again. He is coming again. This very same Jesus, rejected of men, he's coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, it may be evening, but I'll tell you, it will be soon. You've heard me say this so much. Both my grandfathers came to this country from Germany. They spoke German. I never saw my mom's parents. They were passed away before she was married. My grandfather, I saw a couple times. My grandmother, she was blind. I saw her one time. But my grandfathers would preach in the German church in Wisconsin. A lot of Germans landed there. They came in through New York and Ellis Island, and then they went to Wisconsin and landed there. Swedes, a lot of them landed in Minnesota, and my grandparents were there. And my grandfathers both farmed, and then they worked jobs, and they had jobs in the factory. But on the weekends, they would preach in the German Baptist church. I can recall my mother years ago and say, I was asking her questions before her homegoing. And I was asking my mother the questions about her dad. She was a young girl, and at age 20 began to raise her three sisters. And there's four of the girls all together. And they were into her custody when dad died. Her mother had died earlier. And I said, tell me about your dad. Never saw him. She said, oh, could he preach? He preached about the coming of Jesus Christ. Well, my mother was married in 48, so this had to be, he died in 38. Just think how long ago that must have been. And he's preaching that Jesus is coming again. And that was 1938, 39, maybe it's late. Well, he died in 38. But now it's 2024, coming on 2025. But I still believe he's coming. Amen. And it's closer now than it's ever been, Brother Martinez, before. And then my grandfather on my dad's side, my grandfather would milk the cows and work in the farm and then work in the factory. But on Sunday, he'd preach in that German Baptist church. And my dad would tell me that he preached about often the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember my mother and I talking. She goes, if they thought the coming was close then, just think what it is now. And my mom next year in March would be gone 10 years already. Just think what she would think if she would have seen what has happened the last 10 years in this country. The Lord's going to come back. Jesus is coming again. People scoff at it and they mock it. But the Bible says, turn with me to Matthew 24. And I know there's two comings to the Lord Jesus Christ. One when he comes in the clouds and one when he comes back to this planet Earth. But notice what he said. The disciples were gathered together on the Mount of Olives. And we studied that last year. In chapter 24 and verse number 4. I wonder if you could read with me verse number 4 through 12. 4 through 12. Ready? Begin. And Jesus answered and said unto them,
thank you.
I wonder if you could turn to verse 36. But in that day, in that hour, knoweth no man, no, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only. As in the days of Noah, where so shall it come in the coming of the Son of Man. As in the days that before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until that day that Noah entered the ark. And they knew not until the flood came that took them all away. So shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And two shall be in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other left. And two women shall grind at the mill, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord cometh. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy in chapter 3, and thank you for your patience with me tonight. 2 Timothy 3, this know also. 2 Timothy 3, 1, this know also the last days, perilous, savage times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. In other words, we are just a selfie generation. It's all about me. I don't care if I hurt my mother. I don't care if I hurt my dad. I don't care if I hurt my children. I'm not happy. I need happiness. It's all about me. Life is never all about you. If you're living for you, you are missing out on life. Life is about others. Look all around you. Find someone in need. Help somebody today. Mother, help your children. Help your grandchildren. That video, my children got saved here. My grandchildren got saved here. My great-grandchildren are here. That's what a testimony. I want to say tonight that we're seeing the destruction of the home. We're seeing that I don't care if I hurt my wife. I don't care if I hurt my husband. I don't care if I hurt my children. I don't care if I hurt my parent. The request I was telling my class this morning, because we're on all these stations across the nation, radio stations, plus our internet, plus the shortwave, plus all these other things, and the emails come, and this is amazing. Almost without fail, everyone pray for my family. And I won't tell any that I could tell right now because of being on the internet right now and the radio. But I will say this: it's all about my wife has left me, my husband's left me, my marriage is falling apart. Our kids are won't get saved. They're away from God. Our kids are drug addicts. They know better. They grew up in church. They're away from God. They don't care. They will not talk to us. It is overwhelming. How sad the requests are. And the Bible says, men shall be lovers of those selves. I was never what I would call a perfect son. When I saw that man, my dad in that casket and my mom in that casket, and yes, I wish I had done more. I wish I'd have expressed it more. I wish I'd been better for them. I tried my very hardest never to cause any grief to my parents, ever. A lot of things I've not been good at in life, but I tried. And if there's aught between you and your family, get it right with God. We're too close to eternity. I want to get into heaven with a right spirit. And the older I get, I'm like that old preacher I read about a year ago. He said, the older I get and the closer I get to heaven, they laud me for what I've done. And how I've served God. But as I gotten older, I want to creep in some back door into heaven and slide in and crawl in and really have no one see me. You feel so unworthy of what God has done. And the Bible said they're going to be lovers of their own selves. And they'll be covetous. I got to have more. Boasters. Pretenders, you children and you teenagers and you college students can't pretend about this stuff. It has to become real to you. Mother, Dad, has to become real. Has to be in the heart. And instead of boasters, we pretend and blasphemers and disobedient to parents and unthankful and unholy without natural affection and truce breakers. You break covenants, you break agreements, and false accuser. You attack and you slander others. Incontinent, no self-control, fierce, just fierce, angry spirit, despisers of those that are good, traitors, that's you're a betrayer. Heady, that means you're rash, you don't slow down. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, and having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Chapter 4, verse 2, verse 1 says that God's going to judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering, for the time will come, will they not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Let's go back and I'll remove some scripture I was going to read, but let's go to Revelation chapter 4. This next event's the rapture. Why the rapture? Some believe we're going to go halfway through the tribulation. Some believe we'll be taken out of here after the tribulation. Keep your hand right there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I'd like you to see it. All the T books are together. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. And the Bible says this in 1 Thessalonians 5, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. When the tribulation comes, it's God's wrath being poured out on planet Earth and mankind. God gives an escape, as he did in illustration with the ark. You get in the ark, you're safe. You choose to stay out, and there'll be disaster. You say, well, Pastor, what about these dear Christians in Florida, in Georgia, in Tennessee, and especially in North Carolina? I must admit, I don't know the preachers, but I know there are 10 preachers, independent, fundamental, separated, godly Baptist preachers, that their buildings and everything was washed away. I know of churches where they've lost members, they still haven't found their bodies. I've had the preachers call me, here's what's going on, Brother Treiber. A preacher called me and said, here's a church up on a mountain, a little bit higher, but as the water came, it took the church, it took everything, it took the homes of people. And they've been gathered together either in fields. They have a warehouse they went to. They said, you know, I don't know how to predict these things. But when everything is taken from you, people always make a decision. For good or for bad. I watch people go through some situation that their heart is just shattered. What they wanted and what they loved was taken away from them. And I've seen them, watched them turn from God. I said, something's happening back in these hills and in these hollers. These people that have lost their jobs, they've lost their houses, they've lost their income, they have nothing. They lost their churches. And they're gathering together, and you know what they're doing, Brother Martinez? They're singing. And they're singing like they've never sung before, they said. And one preacher said, I feel like it just may be a revival is going on. And sometimes when we lose, we sing, take the dearest thing to me from me, how it must be to draw me closer to you. Maybe sometimes we lose that which is so valuable and so important to us. It might lose a job or lose a health or lose a this or lose a that or lose a mate. I'm not making that light. I cannot imagine the pain that so many of you have gone through and going through. I'm not worthy to be a pastor to great heroes like that. But God's not finished with you. And I watch so many people in this church. I was telling a preacher this week, because they asked me about this, and I said, you know, I used to, and I still want to preach hard and preach strong and preach this, but I said, I'd preach hard, and people say, wow, I love that preaching, boy, keep it up like that. It gets harder the older you get, because every row I look are people that I've loved for weeks, or months, or years, or decades, or almost a half a century that have sorrow. It's hard to preach. It's hard to preach about sodomy. And I think according to the book of Romans chapter 1, it is blasphemy against God to say a man could be a woman or a woman could be a man. That's blasphemy against God. But you know what it makes it so hard? Almost every family somehow has been affected by that. An uncle, an aunt, a cousin, a brother, a sister. I know more than one, but the one comes to my mind right now. Walked out on her good, godly husband. All the kids said, because I fell in love with a woman. And I don't want a husband and I don't want my kids, but I want this woman. You know, there's family members. That's hard to preach because the sorrow that people go through. My Bible says here that this is what it's going to be like in these last days. And God says that the rapture, why? We're going to miss the wrath of God. Those people are singing while they're weeping. They're sad, but they're happy in the Lord. I watch, Brother Josh, Nolan, I watch our choir. You and your wife are wonderful. I see you sitting there all the time, but I watch our choir. We lost our choir for 472 days. We were out there in that parking lot having a time of our life, singing and preaching and honking the horn and God in that thing. I mean, all over the country where I travel, we began to watch North Valley Baptist Church during COVID. I've never said this. And I don't mean it to be boastful, because I get wound up, I get stuttering and stammering, and I'm not Mr. Important. But I made a video right there, and next thing I knew, over 2 million Americans watched it. And most of them began to pray for this church. It's an amazing thing how many, oh yes, good, independent, fundamental Baptists, but it's amazing how many other different denominations would write me letters and say, we're praying for you. Keep holding strong. We can't lose that stronghold in California. We finally got to have the choir and the orchestra back. We have never plugged in the last several years. Come and join the choir. Come join the choir. Come be part of it. And I turned around tonight, and again, like usual, up the steps, no chairs left. Over here, up the steps, no chairs left. And then God gave us these two choirs over here. I want to tell you, because when you lose something, maybe we really wanted it. Why the rapture? To miss the wrath of God. And that's what he says. He said, I don't want you to go. Why the rapture? To fulfill the promise of God. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Here it is. And if I go and prepare a place for you, say it together, I will come again. God bless you, Brother Thomas. That's it. I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself. Why the rapture? To miss the wrath of God. Why the rapture? It fulfills his promise. And why the rapture? Reunion time's coming. We sing about it. There will be a happy meeting, glad day. Oh, what's glad reunion day is the title of that. Oh, wonderful day. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. I go, you know this, you hear it all the time, I go to all these cemeteries. We have so many buried here, and it's only 3.5 miles. And I go to the baby land, that's where I always start, and then the young people. I go there and stand at your graves of your loved one, stand at Brother Wally Davis. And it's coming up on November 8th. And I know it sounds strange and weird, but Sometimes they'll just talk to him. I know that's, he's in heaven. And I tell him what's going on down here. And I know, you know, I know maybe that theology is not, but it's just sort of comforting my heart. And I longed. I had so many aunts and uncles. My dad had 9 in his family. My mom had, I think, 8. And then they're all married. I had all these aunts and uncles. One died last month at 95 or 90, no, more than that. My last aunt's on hospice. She's the last one to go. Several of those uncles were preachers. I'm looking forward to seeing them. And I'm looking forward to seeing my mom and dad. I long to see my Savior first of all, before on any other I would call. Oh, I want to see Him. Look upon His face. God's done so much for me. He's been so good to me. And I think of how He saved me and kept me saved. We're going to have to watch out for the carnality of these churches in chapter 2 and 3. Let's please not let it happen here. We begin to see Israel fired on. I've got, Brother Sloan sent me this last week because of what happened in Israel a week ago. So last week, this is about a week old now, we experienced the divine protection of God. Israel has 3 defense systems. The first one, you know, the Iron Dome. The Iron Dome can protect you from 45 miles away. That's an amazing thing. And they engaged the Iron Dome, and they engaged David's sling. Some of you are shaking your head, you know what it's all about. David's sling is like only a boy named David, only a little sling, and they call that the David's sling. That has a reach of 185 miles. The dome, 45, and David's sling. But then they have Jonathan's arrows. Jonathan's arrows can track incoming bombs at 1,500 miles away. It's never happened before in the history of mankind. With nearly 2,000 bombs coming in that night, they activated the Iron Dome, David's sling, and Jonathan's arrows. All 3 were activated, and all 3, it's not possible, worked with precision. When they knocked them down, Israel's so small, there's no land area. Some fell in the sand, some fell in the water. One fell, and Jericho is not owned by Israel. One fell in Jericho, and a Palestinian died. Not one Israelite died. I would name the name of the leading company, and you know it because some of you work for it, and it's right here within a mile of our church. And one of the chief executives lives there and says this, "I'm not a God-fearing Jew until yesterday." I give you the company, you know the company, some of you work for it. A few hours ago, he texts this, "If you're looking for miracles, last night I started believing. Missiles fired all around me, but none hit my house, and my house that mattered." He says, very obvious, it was an act of God. I'm not advertising for Mr. Trump. He may have got saved, his mouth sure didn't get saved. But by the way, 45 million Christians are not voting, they said this time. Shame. Yeah. Yeah. And when we get corruption, don't blame me on it. Well, I would say this. Christ is coming again. And that's why our job next Sunday, go reach the world. We've got to get everybody we can in. We've got to tell the good news. Rescue the perishing. Are you saved tonight? I mean, do you know Christ? Not like, are you going through what I did? Because I'd sin as a little boy. I'd lie. I'd get mad at my sisters. And I would always, at night, I'd lay in that little bed. And I'd say, Lord, I really mean it tonight. I was bad today. Well, that was my doubt because of my sin. Please don't doubt your salvation if you're saved. But if you're not saved, we'd sing this in high school when I was a boy. Just a little longer and the trump of God shall sound. Just a little longer and we'll all be glory bound. Look away to Jesus, your redemption draweth nigh. Just a little longer, we're going to meet him in the sky.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve him this week.